Thanks for letting us be here tonight. I hope I get done talking before you get done listening. So we'll start with that. I'm not sure I'm going to wander around or otherwise, but in order to stay on task, I put my brain on paper. I tend to wander if I don't do that. You're going to see tonight in the other room some various avenues of service. By the way, that's Southern for places that you can help. And you have an opportunity to speak to those who are working directly in their own neighborhoods where they live, those who work in different parts of the world, those who are involved in publishing activities and translation work, radio broadcasting in areas of the world that we cannot go, and support groups that help move funds from one place to another, and more. The Lord has led some of us to care for the Lord's people as they age and can no longer keep up their former pace in the service of the Lord. That's where we are right now, and that's the direction I'm coming from. But I'm not going to give you a sales pitch about a really, really nice retirement community in Charlotte, North Carolina. If I did give you that kind of a sales presentation, there'd be more of you asleep than already are. I tend to put puns in what I say, so you might pick up on some of that. I'm not very good either at preaching, so just relax. I'm not going in that direction. There are several of you here that are in my Sunday school class, and they know I tend to tell stories. But the Lord used them. He used stories. And they often get across a better thought than a lecture. In addition to that, I don't plan to be up here long, so you can relax on that. So listen fast, and I'll get done as soon as I'm finished. I usually speak fast, but I was asked tonight to please try to slow down. So I will try to slow down. Depends on how you view slow. But what I want to share with you is parts of two verses in Deuteronomy. I wrote mine down because my Bible is falling apart. Maybe that's a good thing. First one is in Deuteronomy 10:12. By the way, Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. I'm sure you know that, but I just thought I'd mention it. Sometimes you get into the what they call the minor prophets, which aren't minor, and they move on you. You go to look them up, and they're not where you thought they were. But Deuteronomy is close to the beginning of the Old Testament. And part of verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12. What does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees. Fear. Walk, love, serve. Turn over to Deuteronomy 31:8. I'll make it easy. Keep you in the same book. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We're often surprised how things go because we think we sort of know how the Lord's going to handle something. I think the Lord enjoys surprising us with his solutions to our problems. And then he often allows us to go through the problem so we learn to depend on him more. And I'd like you to pay attention to the story, because I'm going to ask you a question. About 2,621 years ago, that was before most of us were here, there were two individuals in a metropolitan city in the Middle East. One we know for sure was there. The other probably visited Persia about this time. Tracking that down from history. I don't know about you guys. I like it. Ladies, too. I like history. Some people think it's boring. I think it's fascinating. One of the individuals knew the true God. The other never came to a knowledge of the true God. To one was revealed the truth of God's supremacy and events and man's rebellion, while the other turns to darkness and he founds or began a system of deep spiritualism that holds millions in its grips today. The individual we really want to look at was a teenager, about the age of many of you in the room, 16, 17, give or take a BC year. This young man was removed from all his familiar surroundings. He was put in a place where he was surrounded by customs and rules he did not understand. And he was forced to learn a lot of crummy stuff. Now, related to the crummy stuff, all these things had sophisticated names, and they were all in the forefront of current trends and local focus groups. Another pun. This young teen, along with a few friends, had been schooled in God's Word as a child, but now he was on his own. Well, not exactly on his own, because God was with him. He could say, like the writers of the early scriptures, "My strength is from the Lord." And he could pray not just morning, noon, and night, but he could pray anytime. And he did. He had to make a lot of major decisions. He used the knowledge God had given him. Sometimes he had time to think and spend time in prayer about those things. And there were other times when he had to decide on the run what he was going to do, how he was going to do it, and very little time for prayer. As he moved through a life and a horrible political upheavals, the Lord made his path straight. He often didn't know what was next, and that was good. But the Lord gave him the right words to say when he needed to speak. He was often disliked for doing what was right. He was even punished with a death penalty at age 85. Our two individuals mentioned. Does anybody know what their names were? Yes.
Was one of them Daniel?
One of them was Daniel. The other one was Gautama Buddha. Big difference in those two people. We read in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart. He had set his heart that he would honor and serve the Lord. Now keep in mind, as we look at as you read the Old Testament, we think of a lot of times, because of the order of Scripture, that we're putting people in order. Daniel was a contemporary of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Joshua, the high priest of the restoration, not the other Joshua, Ezra, and Zerubbabel. Daniel survived three complete political empires: Babylonian, Medo-Persian, and Greek. Did he know what was ahead? No. Did he know what to expect? No. Did the Lord always meet his needs? Yes. Daniel showed us what we should eat, spiritual food. I'm not talking about tree bark and berries and stuff. He showed us what we should eat, spiritual food, and how we should walk. Question is, do we understand God's thoughts and purposes? Do we spend time reading the scriptures so we can know what God's will is? And then even more important than that is, do we act on what we know? Especially while you're young. Some of us in this room used to be young. Somehow, in our minds, we're still young. But the body's got aches and pains, and we got stuff hurting we didn't know we had. And we feel like one of the old computers. We fall down, we can't get up. Set your heart to seek the Lord's will. But then the question might be in your mind, well, what does the Lord want me to do? We have a lot of opportunities. Brother Eugene yesterday in a ministry meeting said, everyone doesn't do everything. God's work is not a one-man show. We need to work with others and help them grow. And we can serve the Lord just by building others up. We can pray for others that are, as was mentioned just a few minutes ago, on the front lines. We can support the Lord's work financially. Every dollar helps. The Lord isn't going to send you off somewhere without preparing you to go. And the question might be asked, what are you doing now? Maybe you're involved in camp work. Maybe you've helped and been involved at EBC here this week. Have you been a part of a summer mag team? Do you help clean your local meeting hall? Could you help with a local fellowship dinner at your assembly? What about caring for children? Could be involved in daycare. How about babysitting? You teach a Sunday school class. Caring for parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Caring for the older saints. By the way, not everybody finds it easy to care for older people. Some of us can get pretty grumpy. As we get older, my dad said, I don't want your job. I said, why? He said, you get to see us all when the veneer starts to wear off. He had pretty good insight, by the way. But just remember, over time, you're going to find yourself spending a whole lot more years being old than you were being young. So focus on caring for others, whether you're at home or in a faraway place. He will be with you whether you're across the street or across the world. He never gives you a task he's not prepared you for. The Lord never sends you someplace and then forgets to provide. He never forgets us, and he always provides. We shared this verse 10, 11 minutes ago. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. God is always faithful. And the question is, are we faithful to him? There's another thing my dad taught me. Is when you're done, stop. And I'm done. Anybody got any questions? I'm game. Hello? Maybe you are asleep. Okay, come on. Anybody got any questions? I'll share a non-question. I have done a variety of things in my life, from helping a sister with polio, learning how to clean house, because my mom was working with my sister with polio, doing yard work, cooking, washing dishes, doing mechanical art in school, newspaper, school parliamentarian. Not very good at that, by the way. Worked in several jobs in high school. I had a little interruption on the way. Maybe it should be referred to as God's plan. Telephone pole at about, 65 miles an hour, and spent most of my senior year in bed. Broke a lot of stuff. College. Bible studies in our home, our apartment. Worked in a warehouse, forklift driver, graphic arts, apartment maintenance, plowed snow, repaired leaks, changed thermocouples on hot water heater, unstopped toilets. There's a reason for this part of the story. I had a roommate, by the way, who prayed often the Lord would help him with various things, including his exams. The only problem is he never studied. He flunked out. So there's a certain piece of this where the Lord wants us to do what he wants us to do, and then he's going to help us. It's okay to ask him for help for an exam if you've studied. If you haven't done your homework, why should he help you? He's going to help you learn or remember something you never found out in the first place. You help out in the assembly, you got a hymn. I was involved in commercial printing, bookbindery, publisher, graphic arts. I was on the school board at Christian school. Everything I've ever been involved in, I'm using in my job. So if you have a dead-end job and you're wondering, Lord, why do you got me here? He's teaching you something. He's teaching you something you can use later. Something you can use for His glory. Something you can use to help somebody somewhere. I never knew when I was 4 years old. My sister got polio. It was probably by age six. I spent the next 58 years pushing wheelchairs. My sister passed away 2 years ago. I'm working at Carmel Hills Retirement Community. I'm still pushing wheelchairs. So, by the way, if you ever push a wheelchair, learn how to do it. Big wheels first if you get in trouble. Don't try to push a wheelchair through the grass. Little wheels first, you'll dump them on the ground. Thank you.